Auburn Opelika this morning, your news talk and information station. And usually we have him in either on a Tuesday or somewhere around there. His name's Anthony Terling. This time, he brought his wife. He brought the better half of
100%.
Lindsay joins
the better
him.
Half, the queen of Austin First Foundation,
yes.
The co-founder of Austin First Foundation, and most importantly, the mom of Austin. And Lindsay Terling is her name. I'd hope she had the same last name.
Yeah. I do.
Well, you never know. I will ask you this.
She didn't want to take it.
This is the first time you've been on the air with us on the radio.
Yes.
I've seen you at the tournament, met you before, because I've been there for, as soon as also for just because my relationship with Anthony, he's like, you guys want to be a part of it? Like, yep, we're doing that. But I will say that some people may be asking still, because it's still fresh, what is Austin First and why it came about?
Our son, Austin, our oldest son, Austin, he had a rare genetic condition, and through the struggle, battle, story, you know, however you want to say it, we decided that we didn't have the support for something that just wasn't known, and we needed an avenue to channel some of the stuff that, one, we were going through, but also to help other people. Because we knew we had a story to tell with Austin. Mm-hmm. We knew he had a unique situation. We always made a joke that when they could not figure out his diagnosis, that one day it may be Austin's condition, you know, and kind of comically, that is, you know, what it was for us to begin with, was because there was us and two other families that we knew of at the time, mm-hmm. that their child actually did have UBA5. Outside of that, in the whole world, that was it.
And I'll point out, they thought that these, like Austin and a couple other children, were all diagnosed around the same time, mm-hmm. around the similar age, but they all thought they were the first diagnosed with this ultra rare condition in North America. And to tie in how ultra rare something is, in America, it typically is about a 300,000 has to be accurately diagnosed with a quote disease. There's over 6,000 rare diseases, but this one specifically called UBA5, which the only reason it has a name is because your genetic gene in your body is called UBA5 and it mutates, which is, me and Lindsay used to joke that the wires got crossed wrong. We have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to have that in tough times.
Yeah.
But 45 known cases was something that we found out later.
That's
and
wild.
Still to this day, right? We were talking
Correct.
About this
yeah.
this week, and it's around that number still.
And not to get in too far in the weeds, but I mean, as a mom, when did you recognize that maybe something was going on with Austin?
I think probably a little bit later than the average person looking in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
He dealt with certain things as a newborn. He was tongue-tied. That's common.
Yeah.
He had hip dysplasia. That's common.
Mm-hmm. He had a spica cast. If anybody knows what that is, think of like a hard cast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just on both of your hips, all the way from hips
all the way
up
your
to your up to his chest.
Yep.
Covering his hips all the way down to his ankles, both legs.
Mm.
So we used to joke he was a wide load.
Yeah.
Because they keep their legs, their hips in like a frog position.
Yeah. Frog.
If you remember your newborn,
yeah.
or have you ever seen a newborn? What do? They just flop out their legs.
Yep.
Right. So that was what she was talking about. Was hard for us to see because he was until what, 8 months? He had that. He had different cast and stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't see a kid getting to possibly what? Sit on their belly,
crawl,
roll over, crawl. You're
yeah.
like, oh, this is just normal because he's not being able to, quote, develop.
Correct. I mean, the doctor said, like, that he would bounce back.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is, I think, hard to gauge, especially when this started, like, the casting and stuff like that. He was only 2 months old, mm-hmm. the first cast that they put him in. So, I mean, we're talking early development.
Mm-hmm.
So most doctors, he held his head fine at that point. He interacted appropriately. There mm-hmm. was nothing that said, like, there's just something missing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was completely with it. And so it wasn't until he got out of his cast and one, his legs would just never go back to a normal, you know, down position.
Makes sense.
Like, yeah. So if your legs don't go the way that they should, it's not going to be easy to crawl. It's not going to be easy to roll over. So we put him in every therapy possible and started to try to get, you know, early testing of what could possibly be going on. But there was so little, you know, I'm not saying little effort, because the effort on every...
Our pediatricians locally.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Doctors at Children's, whatever. And this is in the time when we had no specialist.
No,
they
yeah.
didn't know you needed a specialist.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. What, you see, we had an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, we had an orthopedic doctor.
that would be, but that's normal. He started aspirating. We kept saying, like, he just sounds like he's so raspy after he drinks, or he would throw up volume of, you know,
a 4 ounce bottle.
Yeah. Mm.
This is a newborn, or, you know, now what? He's probably 8 months old at this point.
Still a newborn in
my book. Think of a newborn or a baby under one in the way they drink a bottle, like a 4 or 6 ounce bottle. It's pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're dying of a thirst. It's like, you know, really. And that, I think we both felt like was the, quote, turning point of like, wow, something's not right.
It took forever for him to, like, drink a 4 ounce bottle.
And then he would gaze, like, some of the eye contact. And even though you look at kids at that age and you're like, well, some of them are locked in on you. Some of them are just kind of, woo, you know, like all, you know.
Yeah, they're all different.
They're all different, right? And so I think those two things, because I vividly remember feeding him one day and was just like, he's looking through me. You know, you ever know someone that's got a condition or a situation and they're looking not over you, they're looking through you. And if you are listening and you know about it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that was kind of the when we started saying we need to ask more questions.
No, and I had that discussion, because I told you, I mean, not that this is anywhere similar, because it's not rare disease, the dementia, Alzheimer's.
It's all relative.
Like, that
though.
Was when we realized it with my mother, when she was just kind of... She would look at us. She wasn't looking at us.
The same.
Yeah.
She wasn't looking at us. Not like I grew up knowing what your mother looks at you like.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm like, something's wrong. Something's going on.
Well, and think of development of, I remember my mom being like, yeah, you were walking at like 9, 10 months old or 11 or whatever. And then you got some kids that take a little longer. Some kids ooh and ah, coo and do all those things. Some talk later. You know, so all those things were like, it's just delayed development, which was a key thing we kept hearing. And, you know, and doctors do the best they can. But what here's the problem is, you know, and it's not them. It's research. It's information. And things have advanced immensely in the genetic world. Just in, heck, Austin's would be 12 years now. He would be 12 now. But, you know, I think it's fascinating to know the lack of resources, but then to see how... I would say quickly, but in a matter of what we feel like is a blink of an eye, 12 years, has advanced tremendously.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think tying it in on that question, I think it was just a combination of things, but the challenges were kids at that age develop differently.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And I will say this, because this is something that people do ask a good bit. Was he sick? No. Like, we had... His white blood cell count done, I mean, like, it felt like weekly, because they were constantly trying to figure out, this has got to be driven from something, because of, you could probably look at it as, he's got to have, like, a bug. You know, if a child is not keeping their food down, you know, it's not because there's an overall issue. It's because, surely they just, they've caught, like, a bug.
Yeah.
And... I can't tell you how many different just basic pediatrician type of tests, you know, that were done on a monthly basis because of his reactions. Like he would get super hot, you know, or red on his cheeks and like just instantly. Right. And there was, we decided to go to Vanderbilt, because that was our, outside of Children's, that was the next kind of big hub close to us.
And Children's and UAB recommended that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's why I always encourage parents or people fighting any kind of medical battle. It's like anything. We get two quotes for our car repair. We get two quotes for a house improvement, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think of it the same way. Like, it's not that you don't trust your doctors. It's just you're going to where there's other opinions.
Yeah.
And I will say this in a very direct way. If you have doctors or medical teams and professionals that don't think that way, I personally would not be with them.
Yeah.
Because I want doctors and medical professionals and experts to say, I may be wrong. Go get someone else. I'll connect you with them. And that's what that team did. They set up a 3-day literally meeting,
assessment,
appointments, everything. So we maximized who we were seeing at one of the best hospitals in the country and really the world.
Mm. We're talking Austin First Foundation. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that itself, the foundation itself, as well as we do have a golf tournament coming up, so we've got to plug that as well. Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news talk and information station. Welcome back. Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news talk and information station, as we talk Austin First Foundation. And with all that said, we were talking about with their son Austin and the trials and tribulations that y'all dealt with as a family, not just him, but I mean, this was a team deal.
Yep.
All y'all were in, including, you know, you also have another kid. So,
yep.
I mean, everybody's on board.
Yep,
there.
He participated.
Moms, dads. I mean,
he was born right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Our other child, Sullivan.
Yep. So, by the way, Anthony's going to keep us up to date on how Little League's going with that, because my buddy Kyle's involved with that as well. So we'll keep you up to date on Sullivan. But I will say this, Lindsay, that was all your stuff, that's what y'all made y'all think of Austin First, is because what y'all dealt with, once you heard 45 other families were dealing with this, and there's going to be more families that deal with this in the future, maybe y'all could help answer some questions and maybe help some people out, as well as give to some research that will better this.
Yeah. And I will say this, there were only three families. So in 2017, that was it. For the 40-ish is current day. So that's fast forwarding from 2017. Mm-hmm. So like, that's been enough years, several years, mm-hmm. to actually kind of, you know, do things, mm-hmm. get medical research out there for other doctors to be able to know that this is a condition, and it may have been, you know, put under something else, the umbrella of something mm-hmm. else, because that was something, you know, for us to be able to get help for insurance and things like that, we had to have a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have developmental delay.
Mm-mm.
That does not get you anywhere other than some therapy,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Diagnosis is our keys to the door, as the Vanderbilt doctor said. She goes, I'm giving you a bunch of keys to doors that you don't have open right now. And I think she gave him at least 5 to 7 different diagnoses that she felt could be...
That would trigger...
Trigger different things, because to a point, we were carrying Austin everywhere. This mm-hmm. was when he was 4 or 5. So at the end of the day, I think it's just providing... When you go on a medical journey of trying to figure out something that's super rare, right? And not just 45 rare. Remember, there's 6,000 to 7,000 types of rare diseases.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 10 Americans have a rare disease. This is not a rare situation.
Mm-hmm.
The global picture, the bigger picture, is 1 in 10 Americans. There's no telling how many people in the world have it. Alabama, to bring this to an Alabama stat, 8.5% of our population, that's around 400,000 people that in Alabama have a rare disease. All pediatric cancers are rare. These are all data stats that you can Google and look up actually on our website, AustinFirstFoundation.org, mm-hmm. a little shameless plug. But it's a bigger picture situation that we felt we could help. A, we can help the families that we knew. The 45 known cases of UBA5, but the situation for us was a lot larger. We were a small fish in a very small pond. We felt very small when your child is the only one in the state that has this condition and mm-hmm. no one knows answers.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, we're going to be a resource. We're going to tell the story from a mom's perspective, a dad, you know, my mom, you know, grandparents, family watching this happen, friends, you know, but we felt like, hey, we can tell the story. We can use Austin's amazing smile and light and everything that he was, even though he never spoke a word and never did any of those things, to help people. And we did. Her and I both were separated as physically from, she was raising our other child, Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the hospital with Austin, and we both read a devotion. And one of the days was on his birthday. The devotion book was June 27th. That was when he was born. And it said basically from John, you may not understand now, but you will later. And then she read one that was be content in your circumstances from Philippians. And so those two really spoke to us, and we still live that out today. And so when you think about those stats that I just said, if you can't get accurately diagnosed, how do you get keys to a door, which is help, resources? Mm-hmm. So that's why through the foundation in the past 5+ years, we've worked with UAB's undiagnosed disease program, donated close to off the top of my head, $25,000+ to them specifically.
That is who actually ended up being able to diagnose or give us the diagnosis that Austin had. Austin was hospitalized, and they were kind of having to make hard decisions. He was on a ventilator. They did not know how well he was going to, you know, be moving forward. And, you know, our geneticist just said, like, hey, they need the diagnosis to know what type of decision to make. Mm-hmm. You know,
a roadmap.
I mean, yeah.
A doctor once told us both that Austin charts his own course. And it's not just Austin. It's many others.
Yeah.
Many others going down a rare disease path or a path of unknown. It's charting your own course. And there's a saying that says, alone we are rare, together we are strong. And that was our collective kind of mindset was, you know, we want to be this foundation that's super flexible and nimble to help people where they're at, whether it's, hey, you need a medical bill paid for, or you need medical equipment. We had to purchase a stander out of our own personal pocket because the insurance companies say your child with this disability or any others can't pay a penny for it. Guess how much they are? $5,000. So, you know, those are the things that are like, really? So we are there to help. And mm-hmm. so I think some of the things, because 90% of rare diseases do not have FDA-approved treatments. That's insane, and that's bad, and that needs to be fixed.
And let me say this. To be clear, Austin was on medication that was not FDA-approved.
Mm, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because and it is a super controversial medication, and it was what worked, mm-hmm. right? So that's the other thing, is like, you have to be able to know how to advocate for your own self.
Yeah.
And I think that is sometimes, as we were talking before, mm-hmm. you know, you can't always rely on Google, and you can't rely on just a doctor, right? You have to be able to take what your doctor says, look at your own child and say, hey, I understand what you're saying, but this just does not line up for their situation.
Correct.
But also seek out the public, you mm-hmm. know, ask questions. And mm-hmm. I think that was for us one of the biggest things. We are here for people to be able to ask questions. Don't ever feel as, you know, a parent or an individual grandparent, sibling. We don't care.
There's not a question.
Reach out.
There's not a question we had answered. And there's on our blog, there's not stories we haven't told. We want to tell the deep and the dark, but the positive and the ways that you can create hope. Right. We had days where we were like, there's no hope. One thing before I know we got to move on, but it's one of those things where she was like, how do we have hope for something that will never be cured?
Correct. Yep.
This was way before we started understanding and figuring out the genetic advancements that are being had. So to tie this up, the foundation's mission is to be champions for rare disease,
yep.
to support people in research and any other ways. There's four words we live by. Research, obvious. Support people, support programs, support initiatives, create change. Right. Help people advocate
research.
And I said research, research, awareness, support, change.
Good.
Awareness is key because most people have no clue what rare diseases are. And then some of them I talk to people that have rare diseases and they never were told that. So things that we've done, we work with Children's Hospital of Alabama through their foundation. Better believe it. They need money. They need private dollars. They are not supported by government and funding that like people think. UAB, that undiagnosed disease program, that's not something just well-funded. It also pays for people's testing that can't afford it. So these things are not cheap.
It's
travel
funded,
and all these things. So what we've done is we have a lot of great people, a lot of great partners, and a lot of support. And we have created a annual event called Aces for Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And I know y'all are huge in this. You've played in it. And it's a charity scramble golf tournament. And we always tell people, just because you don't golf, I don't even golf, but I can play in a golf tournament,
yes.
but I don't even like golf. Sorry, Ben. sorry, Dad Bod, Golf Pod. But golf, sponsor, donate. You know, those are the things. At the end of the day, share it. Support it in mm-hmm. any way you can, even if it's sharing it on social media, telling someone about it. Because this event is not for us. It's not to support our charity. 95% of when we pay out our bills, all going to charity. So we have donated just through this golf tournament $50,000+ to those events.
In 2 years.
And I will give you a really powerful thing that we just had. We had a thank you card given to us from a real researcher scientist of who is studying rare disease right now. And he said, you all don't realize the advancements that y'all are helping. And so the supporters, the sponsors, the donors, the golfers, they have now had two drugs that are approved on the FDA market that are being repurposed for the condition our child had that are showing signs of improving the condition. That is the power of doing this together. So we just encourage, look, if you want to get involved, whether it's to sponsor the golf tournament, Aces for Austin, golfing in it, donate, look, donate dollars. We are a nonprofit public charity, and I promise you, you will know where your dollars are going. And also, raffle and silent auctions. Mm-hmm. You know, give us your opinion real quick of the golf tournament. I know you've been a big supporter.
Absolutely love it. Great prizes. I mean, it's at a great venue. It's an event that everybody's pretty educated on what they're there for, which is always a big thing. Some people are just playing and stuff, and they don't really know what they're there playing for. And I think because there's a story to be told. And so once you hear that story, then that those people that are out there, you're able to advocate later, whether it's in passing or, you know, Anthony, what you do for a living. I mean, that's the thing is you're out and about, and they're like, you know, Anthony Turley. I'm like, yeah, you heard about his foundation? Yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's always a good thing to get a group of people like that that walk away being educated from it. So it's not just, yeah, we play golf that day.
A day on the
golf
course.
You're connected to the cause.
Yes.
And we intently
talk
about that.
Nothing against other golf tournaments.
No, I know. We're not railing on any golf tournaments. But we intently talk about that on our board and our team. And I ask you, you give me opinions. There's so many people that have poured into us, and we're just trying to do what we can to give back. And, you know, it's Monday, May 19th out at Grand National. I just can't say enough about the people that have supported this. It's very humbling. It's encouraging. And it is emotional. Mm-hmm. But it is one of those things that it motivates us. It is not easy to do. And I tell any parent listening that's going through something with a child or any medical condition, if you're going through it, you're going to have dark days. My mom uses a phrase, learn to dance in the rain. When you see that forest or you see that bad storm come, there's always a beautiful rainbow or a beautiful day on the outside. Even though we lost our child, we still see the bright opportunities that we have and what the Lord has done. It doesn't mean we always understand it or like it, but at the end of the day, we know we're doing some good work. So Austin First Foundation, I know you always like to plug. It's a 1ST.
Yes.
It's not spelled F-I-R-S-T. So AustinFirstFoundation.org. And give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Austin First.
Lovely. As Anthony, Lindsay, Turling, thank y'all. Appreciate it.
Thank you.